Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, good afternoon, and thank you once again for joining us on the show that hopefully will inspire you, will motivate you, will move you from where you are right now to where you want to be, to let you know that you're not by yourself, where we are fundamentally teaching kingdom principles that not only are good for Sunday, but they're good for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, every day of the week. We thank you so very much for joining us. On today's show, we're going to talk about vision, okay? Vision. There's a segment of the show that we have entitled, How Did I Get Here? And it's where you have an opportunity to kind of reach out to us, whether it's on Facebook at Dr. Tanji Show, or whether it's Instagram at Dr. Tanji Show, or whether it's on Twitter at Dr. Tanji Show. You ask whatever questions you want to ask, and as they relate to either what we're talking about or something in general that you had a question about, it will be answered. And I want to thank Jeannie for joining us again today.
Hey, meow. Dr. Tanji, I mean, a very, very potent show you are having, as you always do on Wednesday. So let's talk about vision. And before we have a, let's see, what can we say? We could say a red carpet visionary woman coming. That's that we'll leave it just like that coming up in minutes. But I want to hear all about vision and how it can impact our lives.
Absolutely. Okay. Here we go. Now, because this series is really big and voluminous, I did not want to, as Jeannie would say, rush through this. I wanted it to be broken up in parts. So this is a four-part series. And first and foremost, what is vision? We hear it. We say it. Hey, this is my vision. We read about it. People even ascribe to being able to have a vision with their sight. And we're going to dispel that myth, because vision, it's the conception that our Creator placed within us. And what vision will do is it will, one, push you into your purpose. It'll tell you why you're here. It will tell you what your capabilities are. And for lack of a better word, it will scare the hell out of you. Sorry, but it will. Vision is so potent that He hides it in you. Some people refer to their vision or that dream that keeps them up at night and causes them to sweat and causes them to pace the floor, or causes them to sound kind of crazy when you're telling people that, hey, I'll use me as an example. I'm going to go to California and this is what I'm going to do. And I know that it's going to happen because here's the thing. Here's the caveat. God gave it to me. And then you find yourself having the inability to pull it off. And that's exactly why our Creator hides it. But He doesn't hide it from us. He hides it for us. And He allows those characteristics that need to be worked in our lives that's going to make that vision come to pass and blossom. He allows that to be developed. And it's systematically the way He does it. And this is how. Again, I told you that a vision is more than a dream, but we'll liken it to a dream that's not here, where that organ of your heart is, but here, where your mind and heart reside. Oftentimes you'll find the Bible will interchange the word mind and heart to mean one and of the same thing. But your heart, for all intents and purposes, is right here, closely connected to your mind. And your vision, as I told you, will allow you to use your gifts and your talents. And those gifts are so incredible. They're gifts of wisdom. They're gifts of understanding. They're gifts of counsel and gifts of fortitude, gifts of knowledge, piety. And then that forerunner is the gift of the fear of the Lord. Now, you do know, because this is a show that is kind of built upon those principles or those keys that will get you where you need to be in life, a vision, when it is given to you, and it's given to you prior to your getting here, Earth, being born, when you're really in tune with the Creator, with God, for all intents and purposes, you don't have to figure out what your vision is. He'll tell you. If you come up with an idea, okay, that you can do, I like to reference that as a really good idea, because I don't want to rain on anyone's ideas. But when you have a vision, when you have that dream I told you about that wakes you up in the middle of the night, that particular vision will encapsulate everything that you were meant to do in this earth. And using those gifts, and this is a promise, that they will bring you before great men. And your Father, your Creator, your giver of the gifts, will be glorified in that. That vision is to be nurtured. It's to be written. I have this soliloquy at home where I ask every one of my family members, write your vision down. Because I may come into your presence when you're not here. What if I come and there's a notebook lying around and it just happens to be open and you've got a vision there? And if there's something that I can do to help catapult you to whatever destiny that is in your life or for your life, then that is what I'm supposed to do. People will not understand. They won't get it because they can't read your mind, but they can read your vision. One of, I think, the greatest faux pas in a man's life is to live a life and not dream. But what frustrates a man, what really frustrates a man, is to have a dream and not know how to execute it. And again, this show is to kind of hold your hand and say, you know what, you're not by yourself. We can do this. But it starts with what I like to call a tabula rasa. It starts with you being open, honest, and sincere with yourself. Everyone has a vision. They do. You were born with it. But the tragedy in life is that not everyone will see that vision come to pass. And it's not because they did something wrong or not because God doesn't love them. No, 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 that's ludicrous. It's because we didn't sit down, count that cost, and that cost could be you're sitting in isolation just for a little while to get a clear picture of what is keeping me up at night. And whatever that is, that, my friend, will bring you closer and closer to what you were supposed to be, what you were supposed to do in this earth. I told you that there were four parts to this. The first part was, what is a vision? And do I have one? And the answer is absolutely yes, you do.
And then my question would be, like, what is yours? If you're, you know, listening now in the car, if you're, at work, listening online. What is your vision and what does that mean for you? And what are you doing? What steps are you taking to achieve it?
Mm.
You know?
That's good.
And definitely feel free to interact always with the Dr. Tanji Show at Dr. Tanji at the Gram, Twitter, Facebook. You can call and we definitely have some amazing questions and comments coming up, Dr. Tanji, in terms of vision and also for things that are coming up in the next 5 minutes.
How about that?
Oh, yeah. It's on because I do believe that major influence has just walked into the front door that is incredibly excited about joining the Dr. Tanji Show because she's part of a historic movement that has already taken place, but really going to make a major impact at the Academy Awards.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So look, I'm going to do that while you continue to wrap up your other points for your vision series that you can't miss any of it.
Well, thank you so very much. When I was a little girl, I'll use myself as an example. I knew growing up in the projects of Yorkville that there was something that was so great that I wanted to do, but I didn't know how to even think that big. It was so big that I remember telling a couple of people and they're telling me that I couldn't do it when I went to my mama and my mama said, if you believe in God, then you can do anything you put your mind to. And that really, really propelled me into, wow, dreaming big. Now, because you have a vision doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. It just means that it's going to take some time. There's a building that has to go on internally and physically, mentally, spiritually, but you do not quit. And I'm about to jump up out of my seat right now because without further ado, this woman, this force, this spirit who said, absolutely, Lord. Send me and I'll go. I have no earthly idea if she really knew what that sending me, I'll go meant. But she didn't quit.
Yeah.
She's absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
It's none other than the Miss Carrie Burnens,
yes.
Who's our Dora Melehe.
Melaje.
I needed some more champagne to get my tongue to roll just right. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what I mean.
Yes.
Thank you.
But not only a powerful actress.
Yes.
I am motivated by this woman because of her physical ability, you know, along with the mental as a stunt woman here in Hollywood. You've seen this amazing face and body. You may recognize it and then, you know, you may not, you just may know parts of her limbs. Okay. That's just how powerful she is. Marvel's Oscar nominated Black Panther and seven nominations. Can we give this up? Seven and then the first. Okay. All right. I mean, just, you know, power movie, action being nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's massive. How do you all feel?
We feel,
because y'all were already high from the box office, right?
We're thankful. I think everyone that walked into that set and everyone that thought about the roles that they were taking knew that we had a responsibility to play these roles because they haven't been seen before. They haven't been on screen. And I think that we weren't sure what the turnout would be. Wow. I'm not sure, like, I know me and a lot of the girls I speak with and the other castmates, they all came with the perception that they knew it would do well, but kind of how well. How would America receive it? But to see like success story after success story and record-breaking moments after record-breaking moments, it's just really, it's amazing. We feel grateful. We feel thankful. We feel chosen, you know, to carry the torch, but continue to pass it on and continue to light the torch, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's just one of many. I think that it was great to see that the seed of Ryan Coogler's vision and Marvel and the storytellers like Joel, from their vision of writing this, to see how fruitful it could be, you know, and just saying, you know what, I'm gonna put the seed and sow it, and I'm gonna bury it, and I'm gonna surround it by other good fruit and other good seeds, and let's see what can happen. And
because the impact was incredible, the way families came together, the way people were educated or re-educated about things we did not know, and even cultures who had to, you know, focus on their own families and educations that the younger ones don't have,
right?
You know, so, and then I gotta ask you, you know, it's you were in Black Panther, but Luke Cage, Avengers, X-Men. As a little girl, as baby Carrie, were you a Marvel's girl?
Oh, I love superheroes. As a young girl, I love superheroes. I grew up in poverty for like 6 years old to 16. I always like had just, you know, I watched TV and read comic books as like an escape mechanism. And I think my first time of like reading a comic book, I was at like the YMCA or something, and it was in like their little book collection. And I was like, oh, these are cool. And then I would always watch X-Men, and I was a big fan of X-Men. So X-Men was under the Marvel Universe. So I became a huge fan of Marvel. And I was like, then I became a huge fan of everything. I was like, I'm going to be a superhero myself, you know? I always had that mindset for sure. And because I just always felt like to me, okay, so the superhero mindset was along the way, I met so many different superheroes. And those superheroes were, we were in poverty. We didn't have like enough food to eat or clothes on our back, or we only had one pair of shoes throughout the whole year, or we needed to move and we didn't have enough money to move into a place. So the superheroes were, you know, church pastors. It was the lady at the gas station that gave my mom $20 and said, I just feel like God is telling me to give you this. Or it was a teacher that pulled me aside and didn't know what I was going through, but just left me some inspiration. And those were my heroes in my day-to-day life, you know? So to be able to give back in that moment, I definitely wanted to do it as a person and as a human being. And I did that as a young age. I was always a giver, but I also wanted to also play it on screen and just bring characters to life that haven't been seen before, that totally change the perception and perspective of a normal superhero.
Absolutely.
So moms, dads, if the children are embraced with animation that are empowering, it's okay.
Yeah.
Look at what Carrie, look at the transition, man.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Cause I was wondering, I was like, you know, when you're a baby in poverty and you're looking, like you said, one pair of shoes, people worried about, you know, having Jordans and different designer gear, but you were able to, at a young age, well, you had your community superheroes in place. That's another key. While our roles are so important, each and every one of us, every day, you never know how you're doing, if a $10, how it will impact and change somebody's life. But that's what got you over.
It was. Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the things I recently did in December was, that was close to my heart as, okay, so if I take it back to like between, I don't know the exact age, but 9 and 12, I remember really wanting a sports bar. I was doing a lot of sports, and I'm a really big athlete, play like everything. And we just moved to like a new city, and I was like just going to YMCA one day, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere they said, Target chose some people for a shopping spree. They said Target chose some people for some foundation or something. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I remember a week before, like, asking my mom, begging her for new shoes, begging her for new clothes, this and that. And then we go on this field trip to Target, and then we get there, and they said, oh, we're going to give you guys a $500 shopping spree. And I'm like, what? Like, huh? And I lost it. I remember just crying my eyes out and just couldn't believe it, because, I mean, at the time, we moved so many different places. We were, most of the clothes we had was used, hand-me-downs. It was nothing new, and I felt very different and very, like, you know, like other people in school didn't have it. So what I wanted to do is do the same exact thing. So this December, I partnered up with one of my best friends, Candace Renee Rice. She's a reality star for Flora Bama Shore and stuff. And we partnered up, and we gave five kids a shopping spree just like that.
Wow.
And same similar poverty situation. So, you know, I say, you don't let, you know, your situation can set you, I can't even get my words out. I'm going to come up with a quote later and share.
Okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, okay. It's just like, don't let your circumstances or your past right. enable you or stop you from wanting to give or wanting to help out. Like at right. every level, there's something you can do. I'm not rich and famous yet. Yeah, I have some quote unquote fame to my name, but it's not, you know, I got $1 billion in bank or even a million yet. But, you know, we all at every level can give at some point, and we can all be heroes in someone's life.
Absolutely.
Even if it's a $250 shopping spree, $500 shopping spree, giving somebody $5 for just to eat dinner tonight, you know?
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. Wow. It's huge. And I was also thinking, Carrie, again, you've always, I love this, these two words in your bio, challenge eater.
Yes.
That says it all. Through the challenges, you've eaten it and you've dealt with the cards you were dealt.
Yeah.
And you've decided to push through.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, evolve? I mean, because I've heard everything you said coming up, homeless, you know, challenged, you know, didn't have, but you able to speak, I mean, multi languages.
Yeah.
Okay. So was it six,
six
seven?
Languages.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. Just a few. Just a few.
Just a few.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then on top of that, you think about coming into Hollywood
mm-hmm.
as a minority.
Yeah.
A woman, you're, you know, a stunt person. Everything that you were dealt says you would not make it in this industry.
Yeah.
When you get here, what pushes you through?
What pushes me is, it's amazing how much your childhood really shapes how your future is going to be. And I really encourage parents to, like, you know, even if you have it all and you can give your kids everything, allow them to experience some struggle or some type of a learning curves, you know. So really, my childhood set me up for Hollywood. My childhood was like, it was so many challenges, you know, and I could have sat there and I could have complained. I could have sat on my butt, could have cried to my mom and say, why?
Right.
But I took it on the other end. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to be at the YMCA after hours, or I'm going to be at this program, whatever. Then I'm going to become the best soccer player. I'm going to become the best track runner. I'm going to become the best this. And it's really a matter of taking your challenges. And it took me, don't get me wrong, I wasn't like this in like a year or 2 years. Right. Of course, I said why to my mom a lot. Of course, I cried a lot, but don't everybody do? Crying actually produces emotional change that can either help you mm-hmm. or take you further down mm-hmm. deep, and you just got to choose that you're gonna cry, let it out, and then do better.
Yeah.
So I think that was my thing, is like I just basically use those challenges and said, okay, you know what? I'm going to be better than that. I'm going to be the very best I can be at this, because I don't ever want to get to this situation ever again in my life. And just use it as a setup. And so, you know, hearing rejection, like going through like 100 auditions and auditioning for roles against a lot of other very beautiful ladies and even going sometimes competing against the fellas. It was just like, oh, well, you know what? I can tell you this from my childhood. Everything is going to work out to the good. You know, anything is possible. If I can make $0 turn into $10,000, I can make this opportunity turn into the next. And even if this right role, if I don't get this one, then guess what? That means God got something bigger and better, because it was just a testimony of things. Sometimes I didn't get stuff. Sometimes
that's it. We can fade to black. Look, get your purse. Let's go. and right on that line, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. For that. Absolutely.
I do want to ask, because one of your mottos is you can worry or you can have faith.
Yes.
But you can't do both.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can worry, you can have faith, you can't do both. It's just like, as soon as you allow one bit of resistance or thought of why, like, okay, so everybody has a thought, right? We all have
Absolutely.
An idea. We say like, oh, I want a dream and I want to be this.
Right.
I tell people right away, start writing and planning how you can do it. As soon as you start thinking of the reasons why you can't do it, you're going to have so much hesitation start coming in mind. And that becomes like a little thing that keeps peeling and keeps peeling and keeps peeling. Versus if you start writing and planning, all you're doing is that one little idea that you had, it was like a seed, right? And then the more you write and the more you plant, the more you're burying in the seed. And the more that you're putting the right soil on top of it, the more that you're encouraging it to really grow and nourish, you know? So you can worry or you can have faith. Faith is just believing without seeing. And it's just kind of, you just got to, sometimes, your faith is going to be weary. But then that's the time that you you check the people that are around you. You check those quotes on your wall. You write down stuff in those moments that you feel desperate. You don't know what to do. Then you write down things. All things are possible. Even if sometimes you don't believe it 100%, write it down anyway. One day or day one, do you want to make this day one, day two, day three? Or do you want to keep saying one day I'm going to do it? One day, I can't do it today because I don't have enough money. I can't do it today because I don't have the right resources. You can do something today to change your future for tomorrow. So you can either worry about it, and you're going to worry about it until you're 99, 100, 101, or you all the way 6 feet under your grave, not in a mean way.
Yeah.
Or you can have faith and just... Absolutely. At least, you know, what I say is, like, you try it and you see it works and you're amazingly happy, or it doesn't work and you either figure out how to fix it or you go with something else, you know. But if you don't try, then you're always going to be living in the what ifs of life, and who wants to do that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. You certainly do not live. I know, Jeannie, do you have another
question? Okay. No. We're here with multi Oscar-nominated actress from the film Black Panther. I am so excited for the Academy Awards. Seven. That's so massive. So massive. We have on the gram, Tamara from UCLA is asking, Carrie said she just saw your post, Dr. Tanji, on Instagram. How is like, that? Okay, how that's how she found the show. She was like, who would they thought y'all were models? Like, you know, how they always listed in LA. I'm like, okay, what is this one? And Tamara says, Carrie, what character traits must a woman possess to be a warrior? And what is it like being a stunt woman when you're challenged with so many, you know, like you said, other bodies that are buff and gorgeous when you go into your auditions?
Okay, that was a really long question, so maybe I should...
It was. I was like, sorry. That sounds like a UCLA student. They look.
I appreciate your question. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, you just repeat it one more time.
Okay, first one was, what characteristics must a woman possess to be a warrior?
Oh, yeah. Okay, a warrior. If you think about a warrior, so there's two types of warriors. First off, you can be a warrior worrying about everything. Oh, it's not going to work, blah, blah, blah. Or you can be a warrior. Warrior is totally opposite of that. Somebody strong and minded. Like somebody that. That's fierce. Like that. Somebody that is ready to take on the battle regardless of how hard it may look. Somebody that looks at something, they look at the solution versus the problem, you know, or start creating the solution to the problem, you know. A warrior is somebody that's strong and fit, not only body, you know, and they watch what they eat and they grow and all of that, but fit mentally. You know, they don't get mad about things that easily. You know, they really sit and they listen and then they adjust and they figure out, you know, they create more solutions. So I say a warrior is somebody strategic and planning and fierce in their mindset, and they have some sense of groundness to them. So maybe that's spirituality, values that hold them true to themselves, so they're not easily, you know, pushed over by just wind blowing in their way, or
absolutely,
you know.
Wow, are you a warrior, Tamara, UCLA, or a warrior? we flipping really it back like to that. You. No, that was everything, Carrie. Yeah, okay,
absolutely.
And I guess she's inquiring because so many people are athletic, especially in the LA market.
Yeah,
what is it like going into an audition? You know, I'm sure it depends on the character or the script, but how do you prepare for that, and what challenges do you face?
Yeah, absolutely. It just depends on the audition. So on I say acting and stunt side, you both have competition. It was a lot more competition definitely in the acting side than it is in the stunt side. Because stunt side is very specific on skill set, you know, and knowing different things and training in them. Okay. And then, because you're not going to be put on a set if you're not prepared and you're not feeling safe about doing the stunts. And if the coordinator or the director and the producers are not going to feel comfortable with you doing it, you're not going
to
be cast.
And when you say safe, you need to break that down, Sister Carrie, because you're skilled with like spears and guns and I mean all types of weapons. So next time I need like somebody to do a drive-by with me, I'm calling Carrie. I'm just saying this is the world we live in today,
right? Well, skills and safety is a matter of comfortability. The more you do something, the better you're going to be at it, the more comfortable you're going to be at it. If you're not comfortable at it and you're still afraid, then that means you're not going to be safe, because you're going to go with a reaction of something and you're going to do something that's just not that safe. It's hard to trust a person that's scared, you know. And just think about it that way. It's easy to trust a person that you're comfortable with and that's comfortable with whatever they're doing. So I think that's one
that. I don't know about that.
Look, okay,
makes you think.
But then like, could be also a good liar.
No, look, I start going into real life. I was like, okay, I don't know.
Look, I'm going to have to answer that part of the question later. But as far as
Dr. Like, Tanji after dark. Right.
I love it. But with just like being prepared for auditions and like going in the room and the whole mindset is just really a matter of like, I say training and staying ready. Like, nothing's going to be, like, you're going to have competition in everything, no matter what industry. You're going to have competition in the audition room, in the waiting room with 20 other beautiful, gorgeous ladies. But everything's about the mindset. And, I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's really that warrior versus warrior mindset. You know, you also have to just trust and believe that everything that's for you is for you. And if you don't get that opportunity, it's not the end of the world. So you have to be confident and be confident enough that they feel like when you go into the audition, the preparation you've done ahead of time has prepared you to be prepared in that moment. So you give it all you got and then you leave it on the table. And you know, you might get some redirects from the casting director, but take those redirects, play with them, be prepared to do multiple things, you know? And it's just like, I think half of auditioning is mental. Okay. Because so many people beat themselves out of the room through their own brain, through their own mind.
Okay.
And then the other half is really preparation of going to class, staying in class, really studying technique, really getting into groove of things so you can seriously be the best of the best. Because I think, don't quote me, but I would say that if I think about who's actually on set, they're very talented people all together, but sometimes it's not the most talented because sometimes those people beat themselves out of the room. And you also want to be around, you want to be on set for 12 to 14 hours a day with a person that is real cool, you know, ain't going to start a lot of drama, not going to, you know, be nervous about their decisions that they're making. They're going to be confident with their choices. They did some homework and they'll be ready to play. Yeah, you might be a little scared, but you shouldn't want to give off that much fear. And in order to not give off that much fear, it's really a matter of like practice.
Being prepared and practice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You just set everything up. Whether you want to be in this industry, if you're a single mom, you know, want to start your own business in a garage, whatever it is, it's part of that vision you were talking about, Dr. Tanji.
Yeah. And what you're doing is you're a prime example of what the principles are, what they look like. Because oftentimes you will find people, and I was one of those people, where we're praying and we pray and we pray.
Yeah.
And you can't beat me praying.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting any kind of action to it.
I say this all the time too, is faith without works is dead. You can continue to pray and you continue to have faith, but if you're not doing anything, nothing's going to happen.
No.
You know, and it's great. Yeah. Wonderful faith. Wonderful prayers.
Right.
They're just waiting for you. When you make that first step, then God's going to make two steps afterwards. You know,
hallelujah.
You just got to be willing to step out there. You got to step out there.
Thank you.
You know, because God can't, maybe he can drop an airplane right in front of your house so you can take that dream trip to Hawaii that you've been planning for 4 years and been praying about for 4 years. But the reality is, if you don't make yourself to the airport, then nobody going to be able to hand you that ticket that may have been for you. Hey, I just randomly want to give you a ticket.
Right.
Stuff happened like that, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I am curious to know, because you have done Shanghai and you have done the Baltic region.
Oh, yes, Latvia. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how did you get there from Virginia or University of Memphis?
Before I like lived in any of these other countries, I lived in Panama, Puerto Rico when I was younger. Cause my dad was in the military. He was stationed there. My mom and dad together for a little bit. Then, you know, it's this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in a lot of discussion on right now.
Okay.
But, so then that's kind of how we moved back to Virginia. So, when I was in college, before I got in college, I went to this youth youth, this summer business camp called Youth About Business. And it was amazing. I was at Columbia University, like learning like about mergers, acquisitions and all this stuff in international business, and also at Vanderbilt and also at Emory University. And I also got to go to Florida, the New York Stock Exchange. So I always had a passion about like acting and stuff, but I also had a passion about business. And I was like, one day I said, I'm going to own an international company. I still have that dream. Yes. Even as an actress, like I have two dreams, two businesses. It's going to be extremely successful.
Absolutely.
And thank you. Absolutely. Thanks. So with the going to Shanghai, as I was running track for the University of Memphis, I got injured and then I was in rehab. And then I got like extra time basically to spend on the college campus. And then all of a sudden I like started learning about what do you call it? Blah, blah, blah. Studying abroad. And I was like, yeah. Oh, cool. And I was like, I already had an international business major focused on economics, and I wanted to learn Chinese. And I remember getting in a Chinese class that semester, and it was horrible because it was like, I'm not horrible in a sense of horrible, but it was like 35 students, one Chinese teacher. She spoke like 2% English, and I could not learn anything. And the students were like making fun of her, and it wasn't cool. So I was like, I dropped out of that class. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to learn China, I'm going to learn it in China. I mean, if I'm going to learn Chinese, I'm going to learn it in China. And I kind of made that up, and I was like, okay. But I didn't like totally stick to it. But yeah. God has his plan and purpose for your life. Mm-hmm. Little did I know I was going to get injured. Little did I know that injury would take me away from me being very passionate about running track anymore.
Yeah.
And eventually I quit track. And then I had an opportunity to study abroad. And then I ended up going to France, London, Germany. And then I went to Spain while I was there, and I was there for like 6 months. And I came back for a semester of school, and I got accepted into a program in China for a semester. But I ended up staying a year there because I loved it so much. And
incredible.
Who would think? I know.
The setup was for that comeback.
Yeah.
I mean, that 360 is incredible. And then you become, from all of these stops that you had no intentions on making, being, you know, just, I mean, multilingual.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And like, even with martial arts, like little did I know I was going to learn some Washu there. And, you know, I knew some martial arts like karate and a little taekwondo before. But then it really like one thing led to the next that helped support the overall like where I'm at right now. So don't despite wherever small God beginning. Is leading you.
Absolutely.
As long as you have some vision of where you want to go, then like the route just
absolutely.
Keep going.
The operative word there was vision.
Yes.
As long as you have
vision.
That vision.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, how closely, adored one, are you, how closely do you resemble that particular character from the movie? In that group. You're in that group as Adora Milaje.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Black Panther.
I know, right?
Look,
yeah.
They were just so fierce.
Yes.
I don't want to say could you have envisioned it, but how closely do you resemble her? For all they stand for.
Because protect and protect. Yeah. When you said resemble, though, like, look, because I recently I did some reshoots of filming Avengers, so my head was just shaved bald like a few days ago.
Hair.
So now my hair is like growing back again.
Love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'm like, oh. But you know what? That's the craziest thing. Like, the craziest yet most amazing thing is like, at that point of doing Black Panther, like beforehand, I had long curly hair. I love your hair. And my hair was like similar to yours, but like a little longer, maybe like 16 inches. And I remember like having the deal with like shaving my head bald, but I didn't know that I needed this transformation, this kind of wake up moment of like the warrior, like in being casted as actually like Dora Milaje are the warriors. And they went through being chosen out of each community, you know, in Wakanda to be among the best to be chosen to, you know, protect Wakanda, protect Black Panther.
Oh, absolutely.
So that was big.
I know.
So crazy enough, I feel like God chose me, you know, for the Memphis, for the Richmond, Virginia, for these cities to represent, you know, in Los Angeles. And I even felt chosen among, like, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I love God. And not to disrespect anybody's,
for
like,
sure.
spiritual
absolutely.
Or religious beliefs,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
But I do feel even among, like, the Christian society, like, bringing this Christian aspect to Hollywood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, in my family, you know, there's no entertainers in my family. My
Wow.
Yeah, my little niece, she's an amazing actress. She goes in and out of it, you know, cute. She's talented. Uh-huh. I also feel like chosen among my family because some of them also had this dream as well, but they didn't pursue it and they went into different career paths. And so many of them tell me now, and they're also all extremely talented. They mm-hmm. were all athletes, all, you know, mm-hmm. really great in that aspect. So I do feel, and even just being a warrior, just surviving things, like surviving life, like surviving like my childhood. Absolutely. And I mean, I know people that are still in the hood, you know, I know people that are still in poverty. I know people that still don't want to move out their neighborhood, even though they, you know, like they don't even accept opportunities because they kind of just like a little bit more complacent and complacency will kill you mm-hmm. if you let it, and or they'll just keep you at the same spot and you might die right where you're at. And, you know, it's.
Absolutely.
And that comes back to that mindset.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely does.
And that vision. I mean, where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can block your own blessing. Absolutely. You know? And we're talking about this again. You can interact at the Dr. Tanji Show. We have somebody hit us on the DM, on the gram. Winston in Houston. This is good, Dr. Tanji Carey. Did the movie bring awareness, Black Panther, to the lives of the actors in connection with their own personal lineage and heritage? That goes along with what I said with so many people, you know, coming out with their families and understanding where the different cloths come from, you know, the different languages within the continents. You know, it was amazing. So did some of the actors, did this motivate them to look more into or everybody buying their little DNA kit?
Yeah. You know? No, absolutely. I think 100%. It definitely motivated a lot of people to want to go back. I mean, even before the movie, I had actually had just found out like a little bit more of my like dead side and like even like the like African, like my grandfather was like, or great grandfather was like from West Africa. Okay. And then I like also discovered like more of our lineage. I mean, a lot of us are, you know, definitely West African. So I was like, I'm Ghanaian. I'm also Nigerian. Ivory Coast and a lot of people, like Lupita, she knew, but she also was like raised in Mexico, for example. And then, you know, Chadwick knew because he had a lot more of West African culture already in his family. And then, but everyone, like even a lot of the Dora Milaje, some of the people knew, some people were like they were first generational Americans here, but straight from Cameroon. My friend Constance Ajuma. but yeah, no, it definitely it sparked those interests, and not only among for us, but I love the fact that it sparked it among like the rest of America, the rest of the world. Yes, so many people that were also at the time, I felt like it was a weird place for people to be like, oh yeah, I'm African, or I'm like, I'm from this country in Africa, because they don't have direct lineage to Africa, or they never felt any personal tie with it. And Black Panther, I felt like, was that missing puzzle piece or that like spark of like, hey, it's okay to say you're from Africa. Absolutely. Because guess what? Not all Africans are on TV asking for 2 cents. Like, you know, these organizations that say, oh, we got to feed the children. We got to do this. No, baby. African also got a lot of rich culture, a lot of rich food, a lot of rich technology. Absolutely. We got, you know, all these natural resources that people often go to Africa and take away from people. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was good.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Carrie, because I think Wakanda, you know, outside of being inspired and seeing characters that look like ourselves, it also motivated us from a technology standpoint and the vision of where we can be, you know, more sooner than later.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I hope that this encourages people to like, I already know it does encourage people, because I go speak to young boys and girls, and a lot of them want to be scientists, or they want to be like leaders in technology. Okay. Now they say, oh my God, I want to be like Shuri on the Black Panther, or I want to be a warrior, I want to do this, or I want to do that.
What and I then love most they about also, Black Panther.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people
inspired.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And like also to get us to just think about like, we need to start investing more also in ourselves as well, like as a culture and, you know, building our own, and also going back and just like deciding to go to Africa, you know, and see the stuff, you know.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Wow. If you were talking to Carrie at 7.
Oh, wow.
And the Carrie now.
Oh.
And you've only got 3 minutes.
And gosh.
Right. Now you're seeing everything that she's going through.
Yeah.
And what she's going to go through. But you know how the story ends up to this point.
Yeah.
What would you say to her? And what day? Is it day or is it night?
Yeah.
Is it, what would you say?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. I just, so many memories.
Yeah.
What would I say?
Yeah.
Dear 7-year-old Gary. First off, your head isn't as big as you think it is. One day, all your hair is going to be shaved off and it's going to be crazy, but it's not a bad reason. It's not because some kids picked on you. It's because you're going to be in a freaking movie that's going to break so many records. And don't worry. Your mom is amazing. Don't forget to tell her that. Your mom loves you beyond everything in this world. And although she works 2, 3, 4 jobs and she's not at your soccer games or your other stuff, it doesn't mean that she doesn't love you, because she does, and she will always support you. And don't worry, that chicken and rice is going to be even better one day when you get some grilled chicken. But even that cream of chicken and rice is just temporarily just to get you by. And that food is going to come out your stomach the next day. So it doesn't even matter, like, the cost of food these days. But just, like, know that the next few years is going to be pretty crazy. You're going to go on some roller coaster rides. And you're going to wonder why a lot of things happen, but just know that everything happens for a reason, and to continue to be optimistic and be very grateful for the people that will help you in the years to come. And don't forget those people. Always say thank you, and also help the ones that come behind you. Help your little sister. She loves you and she looks up to you, and you know, continue to pray every night and be the very best runner you can be, because you're going to run track in college one day, girl. And, you know, love yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror every day and tell yourself how beautiful you are, because you are so beautiful and you're so amazing. And... girl, just keep treading and keep growing and keep learning and keep learning. And even though you go to so many millions of schools, just keep learning and keep growing and be grateful and be a warrior with the WARRIOR, not warrior. Stop worrying about things, because everything is going to work out. And don't forget one last thing, little Carrie. Dream bold and dream big. Dream bigger than what you're dreaming right now, because you're going to reach that at a younger age than you thought you were, and you're going to keep going and keep growing. And I love you. I love you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, can we, like, process that letter and just send it out to every girl and boy?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Aw. This little you know, right here, big Carrie.
It doesn't get, my English teacher would have my head on a platter for this one, but it doesn't get any realer than that.
Yeah.
So authentic and beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have anything before?
And then quickly, and Rap, I mean, what do you say? I mean, that's all we need. That was everything. I think Tamara, very quickly, if everybody could roll on room, in Washington, D.C., how did we get here?
Yes.
We forgot all about her. She had hit on Twitter and going through the furlough. A lot of people can't work. They've been committed, but, you know, everything shut down. And she's dealt with homelessness before hitting it again, not by choice, but because the government, you know, won't allow us to work.
Yeah.
She said, "We sound amazing, Dr. Tanji, Carrie."
Yeah.
And she appreciates everything. But what she said, "Do you have any words of wisdom or books you can use in the meantime if you're not where you are right now? Your vision, mentally, spiritually." So is there a book you'd like to recommend, or something that you use?
Oh, yeah, by all means. There's a few different books. I think everything's a mindset thing. And I'm just so huge on like the thoughts that you create, because I believe thoughts are powerful, and also believe that the life and death is in the power of the tongue. Yes. And you just have to continue to speak stuff and speak situations upon you, even if they don't exist in present moments.
Which book does it for you? One of them. I know you got a few.
Okay. We just talked a lot about God, but this book called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero is like really great. It's like a mindset book of just honing your power of being like the absolute very best you can be. I also really love Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh, yeah. That's another great one.
Yeah, it's a great book. And absolutely. That book like totally helped me mentally, like thinking like instead of just waiting, you know, and choosing one day or day one. And then there's this other book called The Third Door. Sometimes you can't get in the front door because maybe you're not a superstar. Mm-hmm. And sometimes going in the back door is not the easiest way, but you can create another door for yourself. And there's many ways to do that. And yeah, it's going to require some research, but you can go to a library and you can start with that. And then I would just say, like, you know, there's many stories in the Bible that like Goliath and David, for example, David took down a freaking giant, you know, and you just think about those things of whatever the giant is in your life and wherever you're at and how you're looking at things. Maybe you feel small compared to whatever you're seeing, you know, and thinking about like many stories that had success in the Bible that presented moments for you. So those are powerful, potent
texts you just gave. The power of positive thinking on Norman Vincent Peale.
That's really
I've read that over and over and over. And Dr. Tanji,
my go-to, honestly, would be the Bible.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Miles Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
Anything by Dr. Miles Monroe. Yeah, the principles of the keys, the values of vision. And then there's a apostle, Ronald Davis. That has a book called Christology.
Ooh.
Unbelievable.
Gotta check that
breaks
out.
It down so that you can use it in everyday life.
Yeah.
And thank you so very much. What was her name again?
Young
lady from D.C.?
Oh, Tamara.
I want you to be encouraged. I know that sounds like just kind of petty. How do I be encouraged? You start by saying, we got this.
Yeah.
And you don't quit. And no matter what is going on in the media, the news, what have you.
Yeah.
Just know that he got you.
He does.
And your princess warriors have you right here.
We do. You know, we got you.
You got Dr. Tanji, Kenny Dyson, Jeannie Jones, and you got Carrie Vernon here, who, I mean, you know, Black Panther, Marvel-esque, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You know, you can, you know, Google her and see her amazing resume. But please cheer on this incredible woman, the entire cast and crew. Seven nominations, okay? And, I got to go. Like we say with that mindset, the best one. I mean, for best picture and the first superhero picture ever. And you a part of that.
How about that?
I mean, you might as well just there's nothing else to say. Just shut your mic off. Just look. Everybody, come on. Hey, gotta do it.
Thank you guys for joining us for another wonderful show. Carrie, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for standing. Absolutely. Thank you for not quitting.
Yes.
Thank you for smiling.
Thank you.
I love you so very much.
I love you too. Thank you.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Kitty. We'll see you next time on the Dr. Tanji Show. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you.
Shout out to Dub Nation too.
You're listening to the Dr. Tanji Show with Dr. Tanji Scott.